Let us turn in God's word to the Psalm 147. Psalm 147. Praise ye the Lord, for it is good to sing praises unto our God, for it is pleasant and praises comely. The Lord doth build up Jerusalem. He gathereth together the outcasts of Israel. He healeth the broken in heart and bindeth up their wounds. He telleth the number of the stars. He calleth them all by their names. Great is our Lord, and of great power. His understanding is infinite. The Lord lifteth up the meek. He casteth the wicked down to the ground. Sing unto the Lord with thanksgiving. Sing praise upon the harp unto our God, who covereth the heaven with clouds, who prepareth rain for the earth, who maketh grass to grow upon the mountains. He giveth to the beast his food, and to the young ravens which cry. He delighteth not in the strength of the horse. He taketh not pleasure in the legs of a man. The Lord taketh pleasure in them that fear him, in those that hope in his mercy. Praise the Lord, O Jerusalem. Praise thy God, O Zion. For he hath strengthened the bars of thy gates. He hath blessed thy children within thee. He maketh peace in thy borders, and filleth thee with the finest of the wheat. He sendeth forth his commandment upon earth. His word runneth very swiftly. He giveth snow like wool. He scattereth the hoar frost like ashes. He casteth forth his ice like morsels. Who can stand before his cold? He sendeth out his word, and melteth them. He causeth his wind to blow, and the waters flow. He showeth his word unto Jacob, his statutes and his judgments unto Israel. He hath not dealt so with any nation, and as for his judgments, they have not known them. Praise ye the Lord. This 147th psalm is a psalm of praise. It commences and closes with the same call, praise ye the Lord. In this hallelujah praise, I draw your attention to the verses 2 through to 4. Here the psalmist is giving reasons why God ought to be praised. The Lord doth build up Jerusalem. He gathereth together the outcasts of Israel. He healeth the broken in heart and bindeth up their wounds. He telleth the number of the stars. He calleth them all by their names. You can see here that the psalmist is focusing on the great goodness of the Lord, on his kindness, on his merciful deeds towards men. The Lord is great, verse 5 tells us that. Great is our Lord. His power is great, great in power. His understanding is great. As the text says in verse 5, his understanding is infinite. But that power and that understanding is channeled in a way of goodness. In that way of goodness that is described in verses 2 through to 4. In a way of kindness. And these words are wonderful words. And they reveal a good, wonderful and gracious God. In these words it is manifested that the Lord acts towards certain things in a marvellous and wonderful kind way. The Lord doth build up Jerusalem. He gathers together the outcasts. He heals the broken in heart. He binds up their wounds. He tells the number of the stars and calls them all by their names. Now think about the things in this text towards which the Lord acts. I think we can count four general kind of groups. There's Jerusalem. The Lord doth build up Jerusalem. And then there are the outcasts of Israel. He gathers together the outcasts of Israel. And then there are the broken in heart and those who are wounded. He heals the broken in heart and binds up their wounds. These can be counted as another group, the third group. And then there are the stars, the number of the stars that he calls them all by their names. It's quite a mixture, isn't it? There are high and lofty things here, like the stars, like the wonderful city of Jerusalem, And yet they're also low and despise things. Things that have been cast out. Things broken and bruised and wounded. The psalmist goes from the great city to the constellations of the heavens. And in between, sandwiched between, central, as if more important, people who are outcasts. People who are heartbroken and sore wounded. God is a God of the great things. The God who is good to the higher things. Who works with cities, with Zion. Who works with the stars and with the constellations. Who works with the glorious things in the cosmos. But he also works with the mean and the minute. With the broken human heart. Even with the wounds. He even deals with a cut. With a hurt. Works with burning globes of fire. And yet putting plasters on cuts and wounds of men. He goes from the highest to the lowest, from the lowest to the highest. He leaves none out. The Lord is good unto all. His goodness is over all his works. Now, when we think upon these things, these four things, I do not think we should limit ourselves to material things, to buildings and structures, to spiritless or soulless things. Obviously, we think of people straight away whenever we think of outcasts and of wounded hearts and of those who are hurt in their soul. We think of people in those kind of images. But we should also think of people when we think of Jerusalem and even when we think of the stars. A literal city, of course, is referred to Jerusalem. And, of course, there are literal stars that are in view. But the city, you will know, is always identified with inhabitants, with people. It's not an empty city. The city is for the people. So even when we think about the city, about Jerusalem, we're thinking about people, persons. And it's the same with the stars. The stars were made for men. Though they are high and lofty and distant, they exist to be lights and guides for mankind. And redeemed men are destined to become like the stars in glory. So Jerusalem and the stars are metaphors in the poetry of the psalm. Metaphors of the goodness of God to his people, to the society of the saints, to the church, and that is the way at least in which I am taking it today in this sermon. So we're thinking of people here, we're thinking of persons, we're thinking of God's people, of the saints, whenever we refer to all these four categories. So the Holy Spirit then is not just speaking of bricks and mortar. The Lord doesn't have a cure for bricks and mortar, for civic buildings as in a city. We're not thinking of structures. We're not even thinking of the burning energy of material stars, of those glorious globes. But these things are written to highlight what God does for his people. It is painting the great goodness of God to the souls of men. Let us now come to the wonderful verbs of good activity towards these four different areas. These gracious and kind deeds that are manifested in these four realms. There are six of them, six verbs, and we'll point out those verbs in a moment. First, let's highlight the subject of the actions. It is the Lord. The Lord who builds up Jerusalem. That's the first verb. It's the Lord that builds up. It's the Lord that gathers to gather the outcasts. It's the Lord that heals the broken in heart. It's the Lord that binds up their wounds. It's the Lord that tells the number of the stars and calls them everyone by their names. It's only the Lord who does this. He is the only one who can do all these things. He is the only one who has the power, the only one who has the understanding, the only one who has the goodness. He is the only one who is to receive all the praise of these things. And that is why the psalm begins and ends on the same note. Praise ye the Lord. Not man, not angels, but the Lord. He alone is to have the songs of praise. For it is good to sing praises unto our God. So God has the praise. For God does these things. Now we know that the saints are to endeavour to mirror God, to be like the Lord. And believers should seek to act like the Lord. And God's people participate in these verbs to a much lesser degree. We endeavour to build up others and to gather together outcasts and to bind and heal the hurts and the wounds of men. Good people endeavour to do these things. But how feeble are the efforts even of the best of men and women. The Lord is the only one who can do these things really. There's only one who we can look to and trust to act towards us in a way of saving and healing grace, and that's the Lord. So I stress that before I point out the verbs. I name him. He's the Lord, and the psalmist names him. It's the Lord who does this. He's the subject, and he is identified by the pronouns. He gathers, he heals, he tells, he binds. So those are the verbs. Now, I can't speak on all the verbs in a solitary sermon. And what I'm going to do today is just to point out the first, to speak about the first. The Lord doth build up Jerusalem. The Lord is the builder up of his people. Now, we know that the Lord is the creator, the great builder of the universe. He made all things by the word of his power. And he did that out of nothing. The world was created out of nothing. He spake and it was constructed. And that building, you can read about it in Genesis chapter 1 and in other parts of the Bible. The creation, we call that. But this is not a reference to the creation. This is not a reference to the cosmos. It does not say the Lord creates Jerusalem. No, this is not that kind of building out of nothing. No, this is a building out of pre-existing materials. It is not that God doth create Jerusalem, but God doth build it up. In other words, there are materials. It's a building out of materials. Now, it's not just strengthening. Sometimes we talk about building up God's people as strengthening them, but this isn't just strengthening them. This is a building up from ruins. And that's what I think the image is in the thought. We are to consider Jerusalem as a heap of ruins. Jerusalem has been pulled down. It's been destroyed. The ruins are lying around scattered. So the image is a fallen Jerusalem being rebuilt again. I think the context requires us to think of it thus. Because it says, the Lord doth build up Jerusalem, he gathereth together the outcasts of Israel. And so there are these exiles, these outcasts, the displaced people of God. There is their gathering, their return again. And so that's what is in mind here, the destruction of Jerusalem, the exile of the people of God, and they're being built up again, the city being built up again, and the people being restored again. Now, creation is one thing. That's building out of nothing. But redemption, that is quite another thing. That is building out of ruins. Creation does truly show God's goodness, but redemption shows God's goodness and grace in an even more glorious way. And so the psalmist is not praising for creation merely, but for God's saving grace, for his marvellous redemptive goodness, a God who raises up what has been ruined, what has been destroyed, what has fallen and has been pulled down. And Jerusalem was destroyed. It became known as the Waste City. Remember how Nehemiah said, "You see the distress that we are in, how Jerusalem lieth waste, and the gates thereof are burned with fire." And Jeremiah the prophet said, "In the cities of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem, they are wasted and desolate." Remember how the prophet said, "Therefore shall Zion for your sake be ploughed as a field, and Jerusalem shall become heaps, and the mountain of the house as the high places of the forest." Ruined, pulled down, ploughed like a field, a ruinous heap of rubbish. And Babylon did this to Jerusalem. Just as today, mystical Babylon makes the church waste and desolate and endeavours to pull it down. Remember how the psalm goes, "Why hast thou broken down her hedges, so that all they which pass by the way do pluck her? The boar out of the wood doth waste it, and the wild beast of the field doth devour it." And so Jerusalem and the city has been destroyed. It's in heaps. I think that's the image that we have to have in our mind here. And the thing about the destruction of Jerusalem and Jerusalem lying in heaps is that Jerusalem has done this herself. It brought upon its own head the ruin. And so the Bible is clear about this. Jerusalem is ruined, Isaiah 3 verse 8. Judah is fallen. Why? Because their tongue and their doings are against the Lord, to provoke the eyes of his glory. Jeremiah 44 verse 6. "Wherefore my fury and my anger was poured forth, and was kindled in the cities of Judah, and in the streets of Jerusalem, and they are wasted and desolate as at this day." And so we're thinking that Jerusalem has become a ruin because of its sin, because of its wickedness, because of its idolatry, because of all the cleanness that was going on within it, because of its rebellion against God. Jerusalem is a ruinous heap. And you know, we are like Jerusalem in that regard as sinners. We have been ruined by the fall. We have destroyed ourselves through sin. Sinners have ruined themselves, have ruined their heart, they've ruined their lives. What does God say to us? "O Israel, thou hast destroyed thyself." You've ruined yourself through sin. You know, to sin is to self-harm in the worst possible way. We bring upon ourselves destruction by our sins. "Hast thou not procured this unto thyself," God says, "in that thou hast forsaken the Lord thy God when he led thee by the way?" That's what happens. Sinners don't listen to God's word. They leave the guide of their soul. They reject his word, and they go on a path that is a path to ruin, a path to destruction. "Thine own wickedness shall correct thee, thy backsliding shall reprove thee. Know therefore and see that it is an evil thing and bitter that thou hast forsaken the Lord thy God, and that my fear is not in thee, saith the Lord God of hosts." Do you see how ruinous it is to turn away from God? Do you see how ruinous a state mankind has entered into because of sin? And so he that sinneth against God wrongs his own soul. He destroys himself. "Thy ways and thy doings have procured these things unto thee," the Lord said to Jerusalem. "This is thy wickedness," he says to the city. "It's bitter. It reacheth even into your heart." And in the New Testament, we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. And so you see what sin has done to us, how it has ruined us, how it has made us a heap of rubbles, just fit to be brushed away into the dunghill. Sin makes ruin of souls. Sin makes ruin of lives. Sin makes ruin of homes and families. It makes ruin of societies and communities. It makes ruin of cities and countries. It has made ruin of the whole world. But God is to be praised for his Son, Jesus Christ, because through Christ, he raises up again the ruined and the fallen. That's what it means by this text. The Lord doth build up Jerusalem. He builds up the ruined. He raises up the fallen. Remember how it says in Amos concerning Christ, "In that day will I raise up the tabernacle of David that is fallen, and close up the breaches thereof, and I will raise up his ruins, and I will build it as in the days of old. This is a prophecy concerning Jesus Christ. Whenever he comes into the world, what he will do, he'll build up the ruins. He'll build up Jerusalem. He'll fulfill this text of scripture. This is a prophecy concerning Jesus Christ. This phrase is the promise of redemption in Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus is the one who builds up the ruined Jerusalem. Christ is the restorer of our fallen humanity and of our fallen world. So the fallen Jerusalem, he alone puts back together again. Only Christ can do that. You remember the Lord Jesus, whenever he walked upon this earth in the feet of his flesh, he was the tecton, that is the carpenter of Nazareth. And the tecton didn't only work with wood, he also worked with stone. He was a builder. He uses the materials of wood and stone to build houses. And the Lord Jesus, in his manual trade, was the tecton. He was the builder of homes and of houses with the materials that he took hold of. And you know, that's what he is through grace. The materials of ruined humanity. He can put them all together again and build us up into a holy people. Even as the Bible predicts, in such places as Isaiah 11, there'll come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. This is the Messiah. This is the Christ. The Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord, and shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord. And he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears. But with righteousness shall he judge the poor, and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth. And righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his reins. And see the reconstruction that he makes to the world. The wolf shall dwell with the lamb, the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf and the young lion, and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them, and the cow and the burr shall feed together, and their young ones even shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. And the sucking child shall play on the hole of the asp, and the weaned child shall put his hand on the cockatrice den. And there'll be no hurt and no destruction in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. This is what the Lord does. He builds the world again. He reconstructs it so like it was in the Garden of Eden. He is the builder up of Jerusalem, the putter together of the ruined and the destroyed. As Jeremiah says, behold, the day has come that I will raise unto David a righteous branch, and a king shall reign and prosper, and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. In his days Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely. And this is his name, whereby he shall be called the Lord our righteousness. He's a saviour. He's a redeemer who saves us. He's a redeemer who builds us up and reconstructs us and makes us to dwell safely so that we shall never fall again. It's the Lord who does this. The Lord doth build up Jerusalem. And so these prophecies speak of a glorious and wonderful reconstruction through Jesus Christ. And this is very comforting, because this is the gospel. This is true of the believer, of the sinner who believes in Jesus Christ. This can be true for every sinner, if the sinner will believe and trust in the Saviour. And I have to say to you today, sinner, there is a Saviour who renews. There is a Saviour who builds again the fallen, who can save wrecked and destroyed lives, who makes beautiful hearts out of waste and desolation. And how desolate the Christless soul is. How great is the ruin and waste in the hearts of sinners. How ugly and deformed and twisted sinners are, but how beautiful and lovely saints become through Jesus Christ, because the Lord doth build up Jerusalem from a terrible, foul ruin to a lovely building in his grace. And so the New Testament is full of this promise. We were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. That's a picture of a ruined life, picture of a ruined heart, picture of waste and desolation in the ruined soul. Can that be changed? Can anything be done about that? Yes. After that, the kindness and love of God, our Saviour, toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed in us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Saviour. Christ is the one who regenerates. Christ is the one who renews through the power of his Holy Spirit. Christ is the one who reconstructs a new man out of the ruins. You remember how Paul wrote to the Corinthian church, how that they were unrighteous and fornicators and idolaters and adulterers, effeminate even, abused themselves with one another, with mankind, thieves and covetous and drunkards, revilers and extortioners. The Corinthian church was made up of people who had been like this. Their lives were completely ruined. But the Lord that builds up Jerusalem came along. He visited Corinth and he took these ruins and washed them and sanctified them and justified them in his own name and by his Holy Spirit and built up again the waste places. Think of the people in the Gospels who the Lord Jesus built up out of the ruins. Think of that man who was chief among the publicans, a chief outcast, Zacchaeus, a ruined though rich life, and yet he sought Christ, and Christ sought him, and salvation came to his house. The ruined places were built up when the Lord visited Zacchaeus. The waste heart became a well-watered garden. And you remember how Zacchaeus stood and how he said to the Lord, "Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold." Wasn't there something beautiful that day that took place in the heart of Zacchaeus? That little man was made great through grace. And what were the materials? A corrupt and fallen, covetous heart. And yet the Lord build him up. The Lord made him new. Zacchaeus was built up by the grace of God. Then think of Mary Magdalene. 7 demons possessed her. How they must have laid her waste. Her life must have been desolate, very desolate indeed, to be thus possessed. A heap of ruins. What havoc those 7 devils must have made within her. Scripture silent on that, of course. We don't know about the ruin of the heart of Mary. But we do know what she became. That beautiful soul, that follower of Jesus, that wonderful lady weeping at the tomb of Jesus, bringing the spices to the Saviour, bringing the ointment, as it were, bringing her love and her heart and her devotion to Christ. What a wonderful woman of God she became, because the Lord builds up Jerusalem. Out of the ruins of sin and demon possession, the Lord builded a woman of grace. Out of the crudeness came comeliness. Out of the badness came goodness. Out of the wreckage came a life of godliness. And then think of the woman at the well. What utter devastation. What waste and ruin. What sadness. What bitterness. What brokenness and destruction. What want and misery. But the Lord, who restores the waste places and raises up the ruins, met her that day. That day at the well. Surely we cannot think of the ruined, rebuilt, without thinking of her. Leaving the Gospels and coming into the Acts of the Apostles, surely we must pause at that life of Saul of Tarsus. Think of what he was. He had a ruined life. He was not only ruined, but he was ruining others. He wasted not only himself, but he made havoc of the church and wasted it. He led the church in ruins, who was himself a pile of ruins. And even the Christians, they nearly seem to think the Lord cannot make anything of that ruined life. It's too much wasted. It's too much destroyed for even the Lord to do any good to it. I'm not saying they did say that, but in the response of Ananias and those early Christians to Saul, it nearly seems to be that they thought along those lines. But what a miracle of grace Saul became. Saul of Tarsus became Paul the Apostle of Jesus Christ. What a new man Jesus made when he worked with Saul of Tarsus. The Lord does indeed build up Jerusalem. Now maybe someone hearing these words and thinking upon this text says, I'm a ruined heap. I have ruined my life, I've ruined my heart. My heart is wicked, it's foul, it's depraved. That may be true. It is true, in fact, because the hearts of all men are sinful and fallen. It is true that some hearts are worse than others. And I do not care to know how ruined your life is or how ruined your heart is. No preacher will ask you how ruined you are. But every Christian preacher will tell you, no matter how ruined you are, there is a Redeemer. There is a Saviour. There is one who can work grace in your life. There is one who can make all things new. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the Son of God. It's the one who died upon the cross for our sins and is raised again and sits in power and glory at the right hand of the Father, the one upon whom you can call now in your ruinous state. And so who, out of the waste of your wicked life, can make you into a new creature? The Lord Jesus can do that. The Lord Jesus can make all things new. If you come to Christ and believe in him, if you follow this Saviour, he will make you into something glorious. He will cleanse and wash you. He'll take away the mess and reconstruct you to something even better than Adam before the fall. In time, he will, through his grace, if you believe in him, make you glorious. Regeneration first, sanctification second, and glorification at the end. This is how the Lord doth build up the sinner. This is how the Lord doth build up Jerusalem. So come to Christ then. Depend on him. Live on him. Commune with him. Walk with him. With this Lord in our text, you need not despair, poor sinner. You can come to Christ. He can make you anew. This is true of all who will believe in Jesus Christ. It is not only true of the individual believer, it is especially true of the society of believers, of the city of the saints, of the church, of Zion, of Jerusalem. You see, Jerusalem is a society, isn't it? It's a city. And yes, God works individually with each sinner, each member of the city, and together he builds them all up into Jerusalem. Didn't Paul say, concerning the people of God, we are God's building? So Christ is building up his church. He's putting the living stones into it to make it a glorious body, a wonderful temple, a great building of God that will bring great glory to him. He's building up that Jerusalem. But you know that Jerusalem is made up of living stones. And do you know that each one of those living stones was once a ruin? Every stone was a dead waste. Every stone was a dead, unclean sinner. Every stone was hard and rugged and rough and vile. But he made each a new living stone. And he puts each living stone into his church and builds it up. And he so builds it up that even the gates of hell cannot prevail against it. And so from an ungodly, ruined world, the Lord composes a beautiful city. Jerusalem is builded as a city that is compact together. Yes, he builds it up. He builds it up upon the solid rock. He builds it up himself. He builds it up on himself and by himself and for himself. And so as Christians who believe in Jesus Christ, we need not despair. We are each, and the church as a body, are a work in progress. The Lord is working in us all. The Lord is perfecting his saints. The Lord is building up his people. And we can keep trusting him to continue working, to continue building, until the day we have no sin, and until the last saint is brought in, and until the church is finished. And it is complete without a single spot, without a single stain of uncleanness, without one single inherent sin, perfect, entire, complete in himself and through himself. And so as believers, we do not despair. We believe. We confess that the Lord doth build up Jerusalem. He will make us perfect. He will present us faultless before the face of his Father. And even though we see in ourselves that the work is not finished, he will not fail. So don't despair, child of God, in your warfare against sin, Satan, and your own heart, but battle on, believing that he continues to build up Jerusalem to perfection. So trust in him, ye saints, and ye sinners, come to him. Believe on him. Bring to him the heap of ruins in your heart and life, and say, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. And, O God, build me up into a man of God, a man who has the likeness of Jesus Christ. The Lord can do this for you. Believe on him and be saved. And to him be all glory. Amen.